Greetings! Back from a long time ago, I am here to offer you a quick heads up regarding a peculiarity about this latest edition of the podcast. Due to a technical glitch, more than half the data that we recorded for this show had to be dumped. But what I was able to salvage was two things. One is a conversation that Sin and I had during this podcast where for some reason my side did not get recorded. So what you have is a very hilarious, what I think is a hilarious vision of Gabe just sitting there telling a story to no one. Just being contemplative, reflective at his time. And in it he tells a story of a particular individual that used to work the cafeteria at the university that Gabe and I went together. Following that, during what will be a very obvious interlude, you have a conversation that he and I had regarding our friend Garth and the wonder that he is and the generosity that he displays. So, without further ado, I give you the start of our show.
There was a guy, this is what I remember. There's a guy named Happy. That's his name. That's actually his name. And he was a chef that used to work in like a chop suey place in the States. At least that's his story. And his claim to fame, Happy, is that he always tells me that he invented this thing called the chocolate dipped fortune cookie. And he said, look, it's a fortune cookie, but you dip it in chocolate. And he said, we made a shitload of cash, you know, selling that idea around. But I lost all that money, you know, and now I am in Canada working as a, like, working in a U of T Scarborough cafeteria. You know, not his brightest moment. You know, his as he overlooked his empire, he wept a little bit. Oh, but that chocolate dipped fortune cookie, to this day I've not seen it. Like, and I still want it's so easy to make. Just take your regular fortune cookie. Yeah, and just take that fortune cookie and just dip in chocolate. Speaking of fortune cookie, by the way, I was in Chicago earlier last year in the fall traveling, and I saw a fortune cookie factory, and I didn't get a chance to start. How amazing would it be if I get to go inside for a tour? And I wonder how it works. How does a fortune cookie like factory work, Gabe? Like, do they have a full-time on-staff fortune teller? Does he wake up every morning and decide what kind of fortune he's going to bestow upon, you know, like fried rice and, you know, chicken fried balls? Yeah, like, does he sit there and he goes like, oh, you know, we're going to need more. You will have friends visiting from far away. You know, we need two more crates of that. And let's get some more number 12s on lucky numbers. You know, like, how does it work? You know, like, does he sneak in like a little, you're going to die of like, you know, a painful, excruciating death, you know, in there somewhere. And how do they insert the fortune into the fortune cookie? Like, by hand? Is that a job? Like, you know, fortune slider? Well, then how the hell do they fry it without, like that piece of paper? Because it's a very, it's an enigma. That's what I'm just saying. It's an enigma. So there was Happy, and that's his claim to fame. Then there's a guy who is Happy, but I never learned his name. Not to be confused with Happy, which is his name. So the guy who's Happy is like this really heavyset Jamaican fellow. Who, he's my favorite, but you know why? Because when he's around, that's when he cracks out the red bean rice with the jerk chicken. That's my favorite. I could eat that thing every day. I probably did eat that thing every day, actually. Oh, it's a fantastic meal. It's a beautiful thing. It's his little taste of Jamaica. And it's the one of only like few palatable things in that place. Then there's a guy whose name is K. Do you know Kay? He's like that. He's a big Asian fella. I don't know what ethnicity he is, but I think he's Cantonese. Yeah, he's a big guy. He's not the most his hygiene is can be taken for. But he's a nice guy. He always comes up to me, and he comes up to Ryan and myself, and he speaks with a bit of a, like, you know, he's got a bit of an accent. But he was always like, hey, this is what he sounds like. He sounds like he's like he's very sporadic. Like kind of like the Tasmanian devil in the cartoons. He's like, rah, you know, just kind of go like that. Very exciting guy, you know. He means nobody no harm. Kind of goes, he goes like that. He's like, hey, Karen, how you doing? You know, it just kind of goes like that. And I know he likes football. He loves football, that guy. He loves the NHL. But the NFL. But that's because when he talks to you, NFL is like one of the very few key, like, words that you can make out. And the word football is, hey, man, football, you know, and he just kind of goes on. So I know he's talking about football, but I have no clue what the fuck he's talking about for the rest of the sentence. But here's the thing. He's not a very gentle person. He's a big guy, you know. He just kind of goes around. He cleans stuff. Like, he works hard. Kay, one time, so it's a couple of things that kind of blew me away. So one time I sat Kay down, and it's like, Kay, what is your name? Everybody calls you Kay. It's like, I'm Kay. And he's just like, how do you spell that? He's like, K-Y. His name is spelled K. And that's the end of that conversation. Then the second one, he told me this really great story. That he told me one day that he has a sister who... married some, you know, has his brother-in-law who is looking, basically looks after his well-being, tries to anyway, and they try to get him a job. You know, they basically, I can imagine in the K household, and I know their last name's not K, but this is how it would go down, and the sister is going to K and go, K, you know, Kevin, I'm just gonna make up some names here. Kevin and I have been talking, and I think it's time for you to get a new job. You know, we've been thinking we can hook you up a good gig. So they tried to give Kay two jobs. Okay, you ready for this? So imagine like somebody who's like cross between the Tasmanian devil and Barney from The Simpsons, with the strength of Andre the Giant, right? And you put this guy up for valet parking. You're like, this is a perfect job for you. Valet parking, yes. Ended up crashing a bunch of cars, and it's told him, all right, you got to get out of there. He told me that. He's like, I just break cars. And so the second job they got him was, and basically what he told me was like a computer assembly plant. They got him on an assembly line, and his job was to take these like super expensive and delicate motherboards and basically insert it into a slot. And if you're a monkey and you've been trained for a couple of minutes and you don't fling like feces to people, you probably got the gig. Kay told me that, you know, he just didn't have the dexterity or the mental concentration to complete this task. So what he did was he ended up like accidentally breaking these like $1,000 like Pentium 4 microprocessing motherboard in half. So he was like, I'm just going to, you know, like, and then just, and it just, you know, and he shows me in his hand, like, you know, so much, you know, he had big fingers, man. That guy had, he had huge hands. Like, and maybe you don't remember him, but you remember him having huge hands. And, yeah, just, not the kind of guy you want working on with semiconductors. Garf and I, we would go to him and I'd be like, Garf, I need you to make a CD for me.
Oh, he was good with that.
He was good at it, and that was a big deal. First of all, you don't
especially know, when you wanted like audio from like a YouTube video or something.
Like, he would just know how to do it. Like, that was back then, he already had the technology to do that kind of stuff. And even now, you know, like, unless you know where to go, like, the average person would not know where to go to reliably turn a YouTube video into an MP3.
Right? It's kind of hilarious, because, like, now I do that in my sleep, but I used to have to go to Garth to do that for years.
Yeah, and Garth was, like, the guy, and you're never asked, like, well, how exactly do you do that? Where exactly do you get your songs? But
mm-hmm. It seemed like it would be an inconvenience to ask him to teach you.
Yeah, we just never bothered. So, and the other thing is, like, I used to, like, this is, like, the late 90s, early, like, 2000, okay? Mm. Like, music was, the music industry was, like, at the bottom of the hill. Like, the kind of songs that were available were dire. Like, pop music ruled the day, you know, like, Run True's Dead, and, you know, it was, like, a lot of Britney Spears and, you know, like NSYNC, and there's just nothing to listen to.
No.
Nothing. There's nothing. And I remember having to listen to, like, Garth would make me a CD. But from there, it evolved, you know. Like, first it was a CD, and then I remember one time, like, later on in life, I got, like, an MP3 CD player. And that was a huge step, because at least it wouldn't skip anymore. But you still had to burn all your MP3s onto a CD and then play the CD. And if your song, if say you can fit maybe, I don't know, you can manage to fit maybe 80 songs onto a CD, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
700 megabytes kind of thing.
Yeah.
You had to, like, physically skip to, like, song number 78 if you want to listen to song number 78.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, there was no, there's no double clicking on your Walkman, you know, there's no scrolling around there's no iPhone back then, you know. You just had to get along with the technology.
And, like, now, geez, I'm, like, recording every bit of audio off the internet.
I was on Reddit.com the other day, and Sony pointed out something really interesting. He said that, you know, those cards. Nobody buys cards anymore, by the way. Mm-hmm. By the way, Garth, if you're listening, thank you so much for the Christmas card and the little gift that you gave me for Christmas and everybody else. Much appreciated. But one of those cards where you open and it just starts to sing happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a little computer chip in there, right?
Yeah.
Somebody told me that computer chip had more compute power than the entire world had in 1950.
Yeah, I could buy that.
I definitely can, and it's just, like, amazing when you think about it. Like, how fast, how much we have advanced.
Yeah, I know. God.
I know. We're reaching the top of the hour here, Gabe, but it's a pretty good start for a first show. I do want to stop here because I want to kind of break down this, you know, U of T Scarborough thing into a bunch of mini-series. Like, today we talked a bit about the facilities, right? Yeah. And I think one other show, at least on the second show, the second time we approach this subject, I like to spend a bit about talking about classes, all the little crazy, funny antics. You know, if you remember any really odd students, you know, like, and you kind of wonder what happened to them now. If they're, and for the third segment, I like to talk about our heydays with the media of U of T Scarborough.
Oh, God, that's a great subject right there.
Yeah, that in itself is a show of its own. So, you know, it would be interesting to kind of go through the history, you know, how we started and how we made a comeback, in a way. Yeah, and you never know, you know, it's never over till it's over kind of thing. Anyway, so fantastic show. Looking forward to a great year with you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, and once again, dedicate this show to our great friend, Ryan Reckenberg's late father, Robert Bob Reckenberg. Great person. And to Ryan, you know, nothing but love to you. And we hope to hear from you soon. And hopefully for the rest of the audience, keep listening. And this is going to be a fantastic year because it didn't end. And for now, this is... remember how we used to sign off, Gabe?
I don't remember.
You remember? We used to be like, this is Gabe and Gabe signing off.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you used to do that.
It's, we did.
We still do, right?
Yes.
Okay, so from those of you listening, this is Gabe.
And Gabe.
Signing off.
Signing off.
And that's another week of Too Much Gabe's. The podcast can be found through iTunes or through its dedicated posts on the Campaign of Shock and Awe website at campaignofshockandawe.wordpress.com. For show notes and links to material discussed in the podcast, please visit the blog. If you wish to contact Too Much Gabe's with questions or comments, by all means do so. We can be reached at campaignofshockandawe@gmail.com. Or simply visit the blog and leave comments in the show notes pages. We'd be happy to revisit the subjects discussed in the past in an effort to shoot the shit with you. Too Much Gabe's is hosted by Ottawa Gabe and myself, Toronto Gabe.